Sorry, Mike was muted. Yep, I'm good.
Mike was muted. What the fuck are you doing over there?
No, I knew I wasn't talking, so I figured I better mute the mic so you don't get like me breathing or whatever.
Jeez, masturbating. It's like you're on Skype and you got to mute the fucking
No,
thing.
See, if I was masturbating, I would have kept you the mic muted. On. That would be great content for the show.
This is a new segment, Vegas Confessions. Yeah. Fantastic. Oh, okay. Composure, people. Composure. All right. All right, count of three, whenever you're ready, Jules.
Oh, fuck.
You should do that all through the tail end of the
thing. Oh, God. Oh,
fuck.
Oh.
Fucking how old are we? Jesus.
Five.
All right. We're like fucking 12-year-olds.
Oh, God.
Peekaboo, you fuck you. I see you, you motherfucker.
Do you want to talk, or do you want to bet?
We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers, also a quarter tequila, quarter rum, case of beer, pint of raw ether, 2 dozen emails.
Counting cards is a foolproof system.
It's also illegal.
It's not illegal, it's frowned upon, like masturbating on an airplane.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal too.
Yeah, maybe after 9/11, where everybody gets so sensitive. Thanks a lot, Binbot.
Got a little hostility from the East Coast side. Got a little road rage from this side.
Wait. You got traffic hostility. I got hostility. Are you recording now?
I am.
All right. I got hostility now about this motherfucker in my
Jesus,
office.
Jesus, calm down, guy. You want to get on Strange Uncles and rant and rave?
No. So here's the deal. I'm trying to get back up to my office. There's like a lunch place on the bottom level that a lot of people go to. And I've got to get on a call. I've got like 5 minutes to get back to my office. I get in the elevator. The door goes to close. And just as the door is closing, this guy like runs up and waves his hands. The door opens and he gets back in. He is a dopey, mayo-eating motherfucker.
Calm down, sir. Calm down.
All right. No. So he gets in the elevator, and that's cool, right? I give him the nod. He gives me the nod, and I'm waiting for the door to close. And then he like holds the elevator for like 2 more people to come. All right. He's being nice. That's fine. Then there's more people coming out. So he holds the elevator even longer. And I knew I had 5 minutes to get back to my office for this telephone call, so I know exactly how long we were waiting there. There was this stream of people that was coming out, but there was like 30-second intervals in between. And he kept holding the door over and over again. So, like, I'm still in the fucking elevator 5 minutes later because this guy wants to let everybody through.
You know, I'm not going to say that it sounds like it's a good Mormon boy, but that sounds like a good Mormon boy. I've been in Utah enough to know that that's being nice beyond nice, but that's irritating
well,
as shit.
But that, I mean, the worst part is, like, all he's doing is being a nice guy.
Right.
Like, and right. I'm just standing, I'm, like, seething. I'm ready to punch him in his fucking mouth. And all he's doing is smiling and being kind to other people that work in the building. Right? Like, he's not...
And you
he's
look
not,
back and
he's
you're
not
like,
really infringing upon me in any way other than I'm late and he's going to spend all goddamn day waiting, you know, to let people in and smile at them.
Fucking the Hebrew Hammer's agenda is askew.
This guy and his fucking bow tie.
Shut up. Yeah, but you're making that shit up.
By the way, the bow tie made it worse, right? Like I'm standing there, you know, like I know bow ties are like a thing now and some people
whatever. I don't get it.
No, you know what? If you're going to hold the elevator for 5 minutes and make sure that everybody's late, you know what? Don't even wear a bow tie.
maybe he was actually, what do you call it? The elevator lobby people. Maybe he didn't even work there. Like, that's just what he did. Or he got fired from another company.
No, I know the guy. I know that he works on the floor beneath me. Like, he's too nice of a guy. It was some bullshit. But other than that, life is good. Let's go on.
I will counterbalance with that really quick. I will say that, Mormons, Utah, great people for the most part. They really have their hand out, which is awesome. For some reason, nobody... And this is the hardest state I've ever been in to get a license plate. So when you go and renew your license, not only is it this whole, you have to bring your bills, you have to bring a birth certificate. It can't be a hospital birth certificate. It has to be one that was filed with the state. You have to take a 25-question open book, mind you, test to get a Utah license. Like, I've never been in a state like this. And so for all of this prep work that they're trying to make good drivers, not one of them know what the fuck a blinker is. Not one of them. Not one car, nobody uses blinkers at all. And so, yeah, it took me literally an hour and a half to get 15 miles today. So I got a little bit of road rage. But hey, everybody, welcome to Vegas Confessions. Vegas Confessions, episode 17. Apologize our banter, I suppose, but I know everybody has them. So here we are, yet again. One thing that we kind of want to roll into, we're going to do some shout outs on this one. And then we have a little bit of history for you guys. And then Jules actually has a kick-ass food review, a little bit more than a food review. We actually got some recordings. He actually got an interview face-to-face, and we're going to kind of roll everything up in a big bubble. So I'm Shane.
I'm Julian.
I'm Eric.
And here we are. So as far as shout outs, I will say my shout out kind of stems off a little bit of last week. All the people that are helping get this Ocean Strip off the ground for end of July. I know, Kyle, Chris Six, Chris from Faces and Aces, Jadan, Randy, everybody on our side that has, Tom Tweedle that has worked on that. Chris had a pretty cool idea off Faces and Aces that we're going to try to pull off for some promotion. But, the group is getting larger and is getting funner, and everybody is bringing brainstorming to the table. And so far it's been pretty cool. So that's my shout out nice. On our side. So
I do have one. I got Jeff Downing. He reached out to us to let us know his company canceled 3 downtown reservations and switched everything over to the Plaza because of Vegas Confessions. That was awesome.
That's cool.
Did you see?
We also got it.
I'm sorry. Did you see Jonathan Jossel reached out to him and said, "Hey man, when you come down, let's grab a drink."
Yes, sir. I tagged him purposely for that reason.
That was cool.
Awesome.
That was cool.
Dale, our buddy over from the UK, birthday brother from Vegas Confessions, and then our buddy Justin Walter. He just placed an order for a Vegas Confession shirt. He asked today, "Hey, you guys still got shirts available? Because I'd love to represent in Minnesota." So thank you, brother. We appreciate it.
Fuck, man. Minnesota. I need to be bumped up the list. We need to discuss what our shout outs are going to be ahead of time. I'm like crossing shit all yours? Off. Well, Justin Walter was definitely one of them.
Nice.
Yeah, so at JD Walter 89, he's actually going to be coming out to Atlantic City at the end of the summer, and we're going to do a little lounge hopping trip. So looking forward to that.
Describe that, sir.
This will be my my last year with access to the Seven Stars Lounge.
We want to
make use of that while we can.
Cool.
So other than cursing at you, did you have any more before?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. So you covered Justin Walter. You covered Dell. You covered Jeff the Realtor. The only one I have left is my buddy Ed at Scan 720. We've talked about him a bunch of times. I actually got to spend the evening with him last week. He's got a monthly poker game that I get to go to, and he and his buddies always show me a good time, and they wanted to talk a little VC. So Ed, good stuff. Thanks for having me, and I will talk to you soon.
So the next thing we're going to roll into, we're going to give you guys a little bit of story time. So, we covered a little bit of things between, we started with certain casinos and then kind of branched off into people. There's so many aspects of Vegas that is Vegas, old school and new school. And this actually stems off of, and again, not to beat a dead horse, but this stems a little bit off of Joy Gibson and Norma Gibson. Joey is the kind of guy, for those of you who have ever met him, he really loves the themed time of Vegas and what that meant. You know, all these hotels and you know, and everything that popped up kind of in the you know, late 80s or 90s, mid 2000s. And we had some lengthy talks about it. So we actually are going to cover the Mega Resort era a little bit, and then we're gonna roll from there. So hang on to your sandals or whatever you guys got on. So we covered the 80s versus 90s on the last episode of Strange Uncles.
Oh, yeah. That was a great episode. By the way, I'm hashtag Team Josephina, just to be clear.
I think everybody is.
Over here as well.
Thanks for that, Whispers. That's awesome. So anyway, we covered that on our last podcast on Strange Uncles, and we decided we're going to reminisce and kind of go down that lane on Vegas Confessions. You know, I wasn't born back way back when. I don't remember the mafia things going on. A lot of us haven't, but this is kind of where we're at now with what goes on with the Mega Resort. So this is why we decided to cover it. So we ask a question. What do the medieval times, an Egyptian pyramid, and Grand Canals, all built in the desert, have to do with one another? Well, honestly, we have to tell you, if you're listening to the wrong fucking podcast, if you don't know what they had to do with one another. We have said it time and time and again, one of the coolest things about the city that we love, that it has going for it, is a continued reinvention every 20 years or so. Absolutely blows our mind that what this watering hole in the desert grew into, no other city in the world has accomplished such feats, and no other city continues to do the same thing. So on this history segment, we want to tip our hat and give accolades to the era that most people from this time remember, the Super Casino era. So a weird thing happened when the Rat Pack era died out and the mob somewhat scurried away from Vegas, realizing that times are changing and there wasn't near as much of the under-table payout that had been there in the past. But in our humble opinion, you know, we don't really think the mob really ever left Vegas. It just kind of changed forms, you know. It just pretended to look more legal of sorts. Then in steps a man by the name of Steve Wynn. So we have all heard, most of us probably, if you haven't, you live underneath a rock, especially with all the recent issues that's going on with that whole thing, of the infamous Steve Wynn. We're not going to go down the rabbit hole of what cards may have been played behind closed doors and how he gained so much influence and financial backing to prop him up in that position he had in the late 80s. But honestly, could be an entire episode on the infamous man himself. But he should be mentioned here because, really, he was the beginning of sorts to what the Super Casino, the Mega Resort era, was and really how it began.
So 1989, one of the first casinos in Vegas to be built with Wall Street money had opened. Now, when we say Wall Street money, we really mean about $630 million in junk bonds to make this happen. This property is known as the Mirage. Soon after the floodgates opened, Vegas had began advertising openly and actively that Vegas was a family adventure. For some of us, it still is. idea behind it was that Vegas was not just for gamblers or hookers or mafia that maybe it was known for in the past. Now you could take your whole family to Vegas and everyone could be part of the fun. Again, I still think you can. Vegas cleaned up its game, and in 1990, we witnessed the building of the Rio and Excalibur. A little bit later on in 93, we get MGM Grand, newly built from south of where Bally sits now. And this happened after that horrific fire in 1980. Shortly after that, Treasure Island and the Luxor wrapped up their busy year in 1993. And a quick side note for that year, Mr. Wynn that we had mentioned earlier, just so happened that his daughter was kidnapped that year and held for ransom. $1.45 million was the ransom. And these thieves, they got caught by the FBI because they tried to buy a Ferrari, I'm assuming, for cash.
Yeah. New York was built in 97, Bellagio in 98, as well as the Mandalay Bay that was formerly the Hacienda, the Venetian, and Paris in 99, Palms in 2001. And Stevie Boy steps back into the limelight in 2005 and built Win. No Ego there.
Yeah.
And shortly after, Encore in 2008, just to finish off his ego. Casinos such as the Stardust, the Sahara, and the Aladdin were left to decide what to do with this new family-friendly mega resort growth in the same town where these old casinos were bought and paid for by crooked business dealings, behind-door handshakes, and a group of Mormon bankers.
Yeah, and I'll just make a quick note. You know, me, the guy from Utah, mind you. I knew that there's a big Mormon, and we're not going to mention because that could be another episode on its own. But I thought that was really fascinating that there was that much Mormon influence going on in Vegas at that time. You know, they were close enough, 5.5 hours away. That just kind of, I don't know. I was surprised by that and surprised by how much pull they had, you know, back in the day to build all that stuff. So
I'm sure everybody had one of their hands dipped in it one way or another.
I'm pretty sure. But, you know, when you say Mormons and dirty dealings, they usually don't go hand in hand. You know what I mean? But for some reason, this worked good. So it was what it was. So then in steps a reason for the boom of the mega resorts, also somewhat of their demise. The bubble crash in 2007-2008 caused much of what we all have lived through to ripple and flow into Vegas. Building new properties somewhat came to a halt, other than a few casinos such as the Palazzo in 2007 and the Cosmopolitan 2010 that was built. Some casinos on the Strip were de-themed at that point, where they went away from the niche that they once had. For example, the Luxor used to have a canal where you could ride an Egyptian boat actually inside the casino itself. Some mega resorts, on the other side, they actually embrace the idea of a theme and family trips, and they still do. Take, for example, New York, New York. You can ride the roller coaster that goes around the New York City skyline to the left and the Vegas skyline to the right, depending on which way you turn your head to actually throw up out of the roller coaster. I hate roller coasters. So just note to all the listeners, don't do it in a lightning storm like my wife and I did. Yeah, a little scary as shit. So the mega resort was a roller coaster, no pun intended, of a time where America seemed on point but really wasn't. However, if you still want family fun, go to Circus just to make your whole family get a tetanus shot, just in case.
You really want me to yell at you again?
I know, right?
You want to do this now?
But on that flip side, the cool thing is, as we covered earlier, Vegas doesn't stop. It's always reinventing, evolving. Again, this is just a snapshot of Vegas history and what that time meant. But if anyone wants more info on any of this segment or any other things that you guys really don't want to look up, please email us, vegasconfessions@gmail.com. And vegasconfessionspod.com is our website. You can also contact us on there as well. We'd be more than happy to fill you in on the details. But small little bubble of the mega resort thing, right?
Yeah, it's quick turnaround for everything, man. One after another, boom, boom, boom.
Really short amount of time. You know, you don't see that very often at all. And I, you know, really, and Eric probably knows more than we do, but just that whole snapshot of not only what was happening in Vegas, but it was a time because obviously the crash was part of that. People, you know, I knew a guy that was, he was a painter. He was making like $16 an hour. He got approved for a $340,000 loan for a home back in 2001, 2002. They were fine with it. Everything's okay. Moved his family in. It was, you know, awesome. Obviously, that didn't last, you know. So that whole housing crisis really put a lot of people on their heads and kind of sad. But at the same time, you know, we get a lot of the structures that we have now because of that. So win some, lose some, I suppose. Were you going to yell at me, Eric, about Circus?
I can if you'd like.
No, that's totally up to you. That's for, and again, you know. Yeah.
I think I've displayed enough hostility in one episode.
Right, exactly. I think we vented it at the very beginning.
We're only 25 minutes in. We can get a little more out of you, sir.
Yeah, no shit. Let me know kind of stick I can fucking poke the bear with. I'll be more than happy, dude.
All right. Well, circus might be one of them.
So anyway, there were some other things. So usually we do food reviews. The cool thing is Jules actually went a little above and beyond, go figure, and he wanted to go ahead and do something more than just cover a place that he went to. So he got some interviews, some recordings together, as we did together, Jules and I, when we were down there. But stand by. We got a food review and other stuff.
Let's talk some food.
All right, guys. So the next place we're going to be talking about, Pop-Up Pizza. Now, you guys saw some of my tweets and stuff that came out the week that we were in Vegas, and I was giving you guys some insights, but then I just had to stop because I didn't want to tell you too much. So this place, four stars on Yelp and Google. You folks have heard us talk about Pizza Rock before on the show, but my intentions were to try every pizza place downtown as much as possible this trip. And for the most part, mission accomplished. I tried about six different places. Now note, you won't find those delicious meatballs that you find at Pizza Rock at Pop-Up, but they do have other stuff they offer, like garlic knots, fried pickles, and hot wings tossed in many different flavors. But the reason this place gets my number one vote for the best pizza in downtown Las Vegas is because of the newest specialty they have, the deep dish pizza. Just started serving it 2 weeks ago. And talk about people paying attention to detail and people who really are passionate about what they are doing. So they are doing such a great job, you guys. I mean, if you are in town, go over, meet Michael, say hi. And of course, let him know VC sent you. We also have some extra clips that me and Shane took when we were there. And I also had an interview with the owner and one of the head chefs, Michael. So check this out. Enjoy, guys.
So Julian pulled some, or actually not pulled some strings, had some meetings yesterday with one of the chefs at Pop-Up Pizza here at Plaza.
So yesterday we were chilling at Oscar's Bar. We were having a little group meeting, get together, and I walked in and I saw Jonathan. I met up with my host, Nicole, and I saw Jonathan, and he was having a little meeting, so I didn't want to bug him. So I went over, Alistair was there, we kind of sat there and we were talking, and we got on the subject of pizza, okay? Because we had obviously just got off the plane and ran straight to Pizza Rock. But afterwards, the very next morning, we tried Evil Pie because we wanted to compare the two. So, of course, we've been getting questions. Oh, well, how was it? Well, lo and behold, as we're talking... Thank you very much. As we're talking, guy turns around, taps me on the shoulder. He's like, hey, you're not going to say hi? And I turn around, it's Jonathan Jossel. He's like, man, you were in a meeting. He's like, no, you needed to come and say hi. So I just, again, it shows a lot about his character. And
right.
So we were on the subject of pizza, and he walks over, of course. Now, another funny tidbit is I'm sitting there talking to Alistair, who's from the UK, and
right.
Jonathan comes over. And his new manager is Michael, who's also from the UK. So as soon as I introduced them, I said, oh, yeah, I'd love to introduce you to my friend Alistair. He's from the UK, too. Oh, well, what? They started going, having a good time, talking about all the different places, and they're so close from one another. But,
yeah,
just really cool. So that opened his eyes to see, hey, these people are really from all over the place.
And,
of course, Alistair's who he is, very nice guy. So it went from having that conversation to Jonathan saying, hey, you guys were talking about pizza earlier, and I heard you said one was better than the other. Can I know what you're talking about? Basically, we're like, oh yeah, I tried Pizza Rock because obviously that's our favorite, and went over to Evil Pie today, and just, you know, it was okay, but it wasn't Pizza Rock standards, and at least in my opinion. And so, sure enough, dude, he's like, wait a minute, you've been to two other pizza places, you haven't had the best pizza in Las Vegas downtown.
What do you mean?
You haven't seen my Pop-Up Pizza downstairs? I said, you know what's funny is, last night on the way to the hotel room, or from gambling to the hotel room, I didn't notice it, I said, but as I was coming out the elevator this morning, I turned around, looked to my left, and there's Pop-Up Pizza sitting there, it's closed, but I was like, oh, they have a pizza place here. And of course he's like, we have the best pizza. He's like, you want to try pizza? You know what? Hold on. Jumps on his phone. I'm like, what the hell? Gets on the phone, makes a short conversation, hangs up, and then he's like, I'm going to tell you something. I felt Plaza's had the best pizza for a long time. Like, okay. I was like, I can't wait to go try it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Jesus, they just brought us another big-ass
oh
pie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow, this is going to be interesting.
So, and we have a dinner literally in like 2 hours. And,
yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, hour and a half. We're going to dinner.
Okay.
Anyway. So he makes a phone call, tells me basically that Pop-Up Pizza's been running for 6-7 years now, and he swears by it. It's his favorite pizza, and, you know, he's not just being biased because he works here. He really enjoys it, and so Spike walks up. How you doing, man? I'm Michael. I'm the head chef of Papa Pizza. I'm like, what the hell? He's like, yeah. Jonathan goes, hey, Michael, this is Julian. He's from California. He's a chef, and he loves to try food while we're here. He's been to a couple pizza places, and he's yet to try the best, basically. So Michael, of course, is excited. Dude, you need to come down, check my stuff out. Everything's fresh. I would love to cook for you. We're actually introducing a new deep dish we're putting on the menu that's coming out Monday, but I'd love for you to come and try it tomorrow, which is the Friday before the weekend starts.
Right, right.
So, I mean, okay, so we're like, you know what? No problem. I'd love to come down, meet you, have a good time. Let's chat a little bit and get to know a little more about the history of Papa Pizza. And he's like, no problem. Long story short, we came down to meet with them here at 4:30 on Friday.
And here we are.
Oh, wait,
yeah.
It's Friday. Yeah, it's Friday. And so here we are, and I meet up with the head chef. Hey, Michael, it's my buddy Shane. The guy turns around and hands us this big-ass pie.
Oh, my God.
It looks to be green onion and tomato sauce, yeah. Obviously.
Maybe
looks
some
like
basil
some onion.
In there,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So yeah. We're going to try these, and then not even 5 minutes into sitting down,
there's he
another
one. Out
another one. Mushrooms, spinach, white cheese, Alfredo sauce. Oh, shit. Yeah. We're in trouble.
And so, mind you, you know, again, in an hour and a half, we have a travel resort reception as well. That's gonna kind of meld into this, but yeah, something to be said about networking, brother. So, and it's cool with Jonathan Johnson because now he sees that, and he sees what the people that like.
It's nice to see his eyes open to. Not only do we have a few friends, but our friends, they end up multiplying because of these meetups. And when they do meet up here, and they do, he does interact with them. They're like, hey, that guy is cool as shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to.
Stuff done and a full relaunch, a brand relaunch.
Yeah.
But as part of it, we'll do a full PR launch probably beginning of July, right after July 4th, just so we don't get all
that's
mixed
your window
in with all of that.
Okay, perfect.
But on the podcast, do a live podcast
right
here.
I was going to ask.
You know, we'll turn the music down. We can even hook you into the sound system if you want to do that.
Okay.
We'll do a funky podcast. Yeah. You know what would be sick?
That would
invite a bunch of people.
That's a great idea.
Right. So I'm just curious, what's your favorite so far out of the three?
This one.
For
me,
far.
It's this one.
By far.
Really?
But the
by
dough
far.
On the deep dish and how...
Yeah, I was counting
like,
that
like,
dough.
It is just...
So I'm going to do that one. I'm going to introduce meat, like meat on it, like homemade Italian spicy sausage, pepperoni. I did it plain for you so you could try the bread.
Well, and you can taste the sauce. And I was telling them, I didn't realize the sauce is on top of the cheese instead of under the bottom.
Yeah.
But the bread is so airy. You're not getting grease all over your hand. You're not getting pasta sauce all over your hand. It's really perfect. That's the best pizza I've had down here by far. I've been to Pizza Rock. I've been to Evil Pie. I've been to Giordano's. I've been to all those places on the strip.
I think you guys got something going on. I think this is going to be, you know, you work on that promotion to get your head out of the, you know, what's good. I think this is phenomenal. And it just like, well, recorded early with the honey on here. Never even occurred to me to do that counterbalance heat. You know? It's a good idea.
That's
a really,
really
good idea.
Good.
So,
how long have you guys been messing with this one?
Probably 2 months.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
constant
cool.
Tweaking. He goes through full tweaking.
This
what else?
Idea on top of that right there.
Yeah, we could do it.
Dude, seriously, you guys, got something good here, man.
We could do it.
Awesome.
The last thing I would taste in my last couple bites, which is your best, but it's just too sourdough. And that bread doesn't have it one bit.
Not at all.
One bit. That's great, dude. You guys, seriously, man, you guys got a good thing going. And I'll push the word, no problem.
We're
going
to actually, in about a month, have a whole new pizza recipe that we're going to integrate into this.
Okay.
That's going to include Italian flour from Italy, blended with some American flours. So it's going to actually step up the flavor of the dough even higher.
Wow.
I have a special flour that's going to have parts of the bran from the wheat when they hull it.
Yeah.
It's going to have a little bit of almost like this brownie flaky consistency inside the dough.
Okay.
So when you look into the crust, you're going to see some little specks, which are going to basically take the flavor of the flour and make it even intensified.
Okay.
And that's something that's being worked on now. Right now we're blending two American flours. We're going to blend the two American flours with the Italian, and it's going to even be a higher level pizza.
Sir, you sound like you love what you do. I'm just saying.
How I just have fun doing it. That's the best part. It's fun.
I'm the same way. They're like, how do you make it look like you can do this shit in your sleep? It's because I've been doing it for so long, and it's fun to just turn around and see people smiling and happy about what you do. Like, I know this shit makes you feel good. And that right there, I love getting from customers. Like, that's the best part about working in this industry.
Makes it worthwhile.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
And I'm a holding tight to that night we had a ball. We had a ball.
So we're sitting here inside Papa Pizza, and I have the honor to be sitting here with Michael. He's a great, great, great guy. I mean, he was introduced to me by Jonathan Jossel one night. I was hanging out at Oscars. We were getting a group together, and Jonathan's like, overheard us talking pizza, of course, and said, hey, yeah, I hear you're talking about the wrong pizza places. He said, you think you found the best pizza downtown? You haven't tried my pizza. I didn't know there was a pizza place until I had went to my room the following night and I seen it. That being said, thank you, Michael, for coming on. You know, I'm a chef from California. I really look into detail when it comes to food. I tried three different pizza places in the same day. That way there was no mistaking on the characteristics of the pizza, the flavors, the way it's made, crust, dough, everything. So that being said, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started with Papa Pizza, and how you got the idea.
Sure. So actually my family, going back in the day, my family were beer makers. And I'm North African. My family comes from Morocco, and they were one of the larger beer makers in the country. My lineage dates back to Spain, so I think my my culinary passion is deep in my DNA. But I opened up Papa Pizza in 2012. I had an opportunity to do that project with Jonathan and the Plaza Hotel, which was wonderful. It's been a great partnership ever since we opened. We've been open through, 2012 till now, and we've seen a lot of businesses with the economy the way that it's been, with its ups and downs, kind of come and go. But we've been able to set the standard almost for pizza, and really haven't felt any financial issues in the economy. We've been sticking it out and been just gaining our base, which has been wonderful. So we're lucky for that. And also, I've just been very passionate about bread baking. So before pizza, bread baking has been something that I've always loved. It's been really fun. It's been an addictive kind of skill that I've been just working on. You can never be perfect at it, but you can kind of try to get there every day. And this is one of those things that gets you hooked. Once you start, you kind of can't stop and let it go. So no matter what projects I do in the hotel or outside the hotel, something continues to draw me back to the baking of the bread and the pizza. So we're always addicted to it, and I think that we'll always be that way.
Right. And so when you come up with the menu for a lot of the pizzas here, is that some of your ideas, or do you take ideas from guests and some of the employees that work here, or do you let the chefs just kind of go off the top of their head, or is it day by day, or how is the menu put together?
It's slowly an evolution. So our base is sort of a New York style pizza. But we want to take that New York style pizza that you would find in New York, and we really want to elevate it. And I think that with some of our pizzas, as an example, the evolution of like the White Chapel, which started off as our white pizza with spinach and ricotta cheese and a little bit of garlic oil, has evolved into what we now have, which is the creamy onion, roasted mushroom, and spinach pizza that has a really nice homemade white sauce that we create from scratch with onions and garlic and all types of herbs and seasonings. We finish it on the pizza, and we also bake it under the cheese. And it's an evolutionary process. So like with everything we do, that addiction wants us to almost like become better. It's it's something that I think isn't going to necessarily ever stop. And
as far as you're talking about the bread, that says a lot about the new deep dish you guys are rolling out this week. So, again, going back to Jonathan, he tells me, hey, I'm going to make a phone call real quick. And then that's when he called you and you showed up and he's like, hey, this is the head chef over at Papa Pizza. I want to introduce you to him. And my jaw dropped and he's like, and then that's when you said, we're serving a new pizza this week starting Monday and it's our deep dish. And I'm going to make it for you tomorrow when you come for lunch and we'll eat it. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's not the traditional stuffed cheese deep dish pizza, man. That bread is phenomenal on it. The crust, the taste, the way it bakes with the cheese on the side, it complements itself. So tell us a little bit about that new deep dish pizza you have serving this week.
So the new deep dish is basically a Detroit-style pizza, but what we do a little bit differently is we have a three-day fermentation on our dough. We also mix a couple of different flours together, and we also bulk ferment our dough. So our dough sits in mass for 40 pounds overnight, and then we separate it out in the morning. We put them into these little Detroit pans that are well oiled, and we go ahead, we let them sit, and then we bake them off. And that's kind of the secret, some people, the secret to like a good French fry is in the same similar sense, they pre-bake it or they pre-fry it, and then they do a second fry. Well, we do the same thing with that Detroit dough, which really makes that hearty big pizza very airy and light. So you look like you're gonna eat this big old square pie could be heavy and dense, but it's as light as cake on the inside.
It doesn't drop any oil, sauces. I mean, it doesn't drop anything. The thing is literally delicious. The thing that sticks out though is the way it's set up. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, are most of the pizzas set up the same formation? It seems to be bread, then cheese, then toppings, and then the sauce right on top. Am I correct?
You are correct. That is how we do the cheese pizza. That is how we do the Detroit. And the white pies and the pepperoni and some of the other ones we do more traditionally with the sauce underneath. But we do the sauce on top of the Detroit because we want it to be super airy, light, and crisp. If you don't put the sauce on top and put it on the bottom, we found that it gets a little soggy. So the key is to give you a crispy, super light, airy pie. So that's why we do that.
Well, I'll tell you what, brother. It's the little things that'll set you apart from everybody else. And I've rated all three this week. I put it out on Twitter for people to see. My top order, top three. And I want to congratulate you because you took the cake. This pizza literally blows every other pizza out. There's a lot of competition, and we know there's, plenty of places out there, but again, it's not expensive. This is a good little spot. You can come. It's got a great vibe. Music's going. And then tell us a little bit about the future. I remember you saying something about there's going to be art coming. I see bricks being installed on the bottom layer. Give us a little more in detail.
So we're heading into our sixth year of business, so it's time to renovate a little bit, refresh ourselves, and kind of be a little bit more current with what's going on in today's world. So we want to pay homage to, that old school New York style pizzeria, but also give it a refreshed kind of cool look, young vibe, and have good atmosphere and music. So we're doing that now. We're going to have a mural from an artist in LA who I can't say who yet, but we're working on the deal, but we are super, super close and we're super excited to work with him. He's pretty well known in the world of art, and we've got some really fun stuff in the future: parties, pizza parties, potential events with a lot of sneaker companies where they might be dropping some of their shoes here and doing some exchanges. So there's a lot of fun activational stuff, not just for the pizzeria but for the community that we want to do.
So I'll tell you what, there's a lot of potential. You can see it in the place. I mean, between the music, the vibe, there's TVs, everybody's just happy working. I mean, anything you need, you get right away. Just that being said, man, the reason I wanted to come and interview you is because I know most of the other places, they're their own businesses and their own entity, and you are kind of hidden inside the casino, in the Plaza Casino, and I recommend you guys walk all the way to the back,
straight to the left, you'll see Papa Pizza. You guys come check out Michael and his crew. They know what they're doing. They wowed me and Shane the other day. They brought us out 4 huge pies plus the deep dish. These guys had great customer service. Michael, is there anything else you would like to promote for your business?
We would just really encourage people to come and try us. We are in the back of the hotel, so it's kind of hard for some people to see us. But one great thing is that our locals, once they come in, that's it. You know, we've kind of got the same people since day one, and we would really love to get people from out of town to come and experience what Las Vegas Pizza has to offer. You know, there's a lot of really great stuff down here, and a lot of people don't know about it. So for us, it's just to have the opportunity to sit with you and to have you come down has been a real pleasure, and we're really, really grateful that you guys came down.
Well, we appreciate you, Michael. We're going to send a bunch of traffic this way. So you guys, if you are out here, I know Mark Meltzer is going to be the first one here because he loves this place. I was talking to him yesterday about it. He's my good buddy, Mark. And I was telling him, hey, have you tried Pop Up Pizza? Oh, I love that place. And he's a big food blogger. And he just had so much great things to say. So that being said, guys, come down here. Check out Pop Up Pizza. Leave them a review. Let them know on Twitter you're out here. Make sure you tag them. Let them know Vegas Confessions sent you. And check out Michael. He's a really nice guy. Go introduce yourself. Michael, thank you, brother.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Ingers be home. Diddy who? Gonna say do. Yee, burst, beer, horn, gear, skirt. Bork, bork, bork. English beer, the Swedish meatball.
All right, so I really hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Michael was really gracious enough to sit down with me and have a chat. Really, really cool people. And as you guys can tell, he's really straight up. They're renovating the place. They're doing all kinds of art in the place. It should really get a new facelift. So that being said, man, it all comes back to, you know, genuine kindness, hospitality, welcoming. You know, they were very good, very gracious with, you know, the serving portions and just wanting us to try everything.
Oh my God,
you know, I couldn't say enough things about, you know, Pop Up Pizza. Our hats off to you, man. You guys did good. And on top of that, you know, Eric, I heard you on The Better Life this week. And, you know, it was a great episode again with Tim. But, you know, you guys got on the topic of how did Plaza, of all places, become a fan favorite in the community? And I wanted to elaborate on that a little more and discuss that more in detail. I think, you know, it starts from the top, from Jonathan always reaching out to people, not afraid to engage, to his host, who are a great team, from Ashley to Nicole to, you know, his general manager, Gary and Mike. I mean, these people are just a good time, and they showed me nothing but a great time. And mind you guys, I stayed there a week straight. So I thought at some point they'd get sick of my face, but no, every time they see me, hey, how you doing? You need anything? What do you got going on today? I mean, just very genuine people. So again, I think it's really, really attracting to people when you know that you get a people person who just want to know about you, what you're about, where you're coming from. It's kind of enticing for people who get to listen to the show to actually get down there. And I know, like we talked about our buddy Jeff, they're going to head over there Sunday, and I'm excited for their interaction, you know, to be able to meet new people and send people that way. I mean, that's pretty cool. And we're not being biased because I like to stay at Plaza. We're just being real. This is the types of engagements and encounters we're having with the people there. So I think it says a lot.
So would this be the appropriate time to put the disclaimer in that, you know, we have no business relationship with the Plaza?
Correct.
We're not paid to talk about the Plaza. We're not an affiliate of the Plaza. We've just all had really good experiences, and it makes me really happy that other people are being treated the same way. And as a admitted strip snob, you know, where even if you are a decent sized gambler, you're still just a number. It is nice to have the old school approach where a handshake means something, and it's cool.
Right. In this day and age. And I'm going to actually, Trump on that a little bit more. Trump. So we will never, and we had this discussion over and over. It's one of those things where, you know, there's no promotion involved unless we walk in and we experience these things and we see these scenarios, and we're going to put our gold seal on it. With that being said, it's the same thing, you know, like Eric, you know, The Strip is a Strip, and it's beautiful. The lights are flashy, whatever have you. That's fine. The downtown has a different atmosphere, and what Jonathan is trying to do, that personable feeling means a lot. So I talked a little bit, I don't think last episode, a couple episodes ago, you know, we did our trip. You know, of course, you know, Julian and Erica, not of course, like, oh, fuck, of course they're here. But, you know, they're at the craps table, whatever, gambling. I wandered around, I'm making friends with other people, you know, doing other things. I befriended a bartender. You know, we talked a little bit, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, yeah, we actually, you know, I met Jonathan Jocelyn, and we've talked to him, our podcast, and my co-host Julian and Eric, and da da da. And her eyes lit up, and she slammed her hands down on the bar, and she's like, oh my God, I love him so much. She goes, God, don't tell him that. Like, it's just what he brings to the table, and how, and that stems back to not only how he treats us, but how he runs his business or his employees or whatever have you. Really trying hard to do that old school approach, and I'm a that weighs a lot on me, and you know, in this day and age of social media and you know, computers and it's just, you know, sometimes it gets out of hand. That old school personable approach means a lot, and that's really what Plaza brings.
Yeah,
you know,
it just says a lot, man. You know, like I said, I was talking to Alistair. The guy was in a meeting, and he comes over, bumps me on the shoulder. Hey, you're not going to come say hi? I'm like, you were in a meeting. And jokingly, he's like, how you guys doing? And basically joked with us, hey, you guys basically, you guys did a heist on my casino last night. You guys won a lot of money. And just very friendly, just a good guy. Good time.
Well, don't worry, Jonathan. He gave it back the very next day. So,
of course.
No worries on the heist. And I guess point of clarification, Shane is absolutely not on the take. He's not going to take money for promotion of any kind. I will. I'm just not receiving any at the current point.
You're such a fucking dick.
So for anybody listening who would like to pay for advertising or promotion of some sort, you know, I mean, we can talk.
Oh my God, you're such an asshole. I'm trying to build this fucking mayonnaise empire over here, and you say shit like that. God damn it, dude. Yeah. But yeah, all jokes aside, yeah. Yeah, something be said about that. So, you know, we felt that we just wanted to say it. And again, you know, it's building partnerships. Same thing with Ellis Island. Same thing with these, you know, the smaller boutique ones. They really, they're trying to drive that, and they're, you know, they want to bring that out, and that says something, you know. And not saying that I don't enjoy wandering through the big casinos, you know. I love Mirage. Right. I love Encore, just walking. But you will never, I fucking guarantee you, you will never have a CEO or manager come down and shake your hand in one of those properties. Just won't happen, you know. So it's, you know, you take the good for the bad, and you take it both, and there you have the facts of life, so. By the way, did anybody get that? That's a facts of life
yes,
comedy.
Yes, yes. Come on.
Anyway, so that's kind of our wrap ups. Does anybody have anything else as far as you know? We're gonna promote Laughlin a little bit. Who wants to do that? Laughlin,
you're the
I
only
say,
one going to Laughlin. So
oh,
you're
a son of a bitch.
Fucker.
So we're doing the Ocean's trip. Obviously, AC is where they want to be. Laughlin is actually on the books and ready to go. And so what we're going to do, it's going to be last weekend in July. We actually have a place slated for the live podcast, like we talked about earlier. We're looking really good. And again, Christopher Six, thank you so much for your gratitude, you know, for everything that you reach out for. So we really do appreciate it. I know that I said, hey, I gave you a small shout out in the last episode. And he's like, small shout out, not downloading. That was pretty fucking funny. So,
well, I mean, I guess if we're going to talk about the most important part, if you guys really want to have a good time, you're going to come to AC with me and Eric.
Oh, no. AC is not a good
that
time.
That being said, no.
We should battle.
Again, guys, it's going to be fun. We're going to be partying from coast to coast, quote unquote. And we are going to have a good time. We are looking, I think the group's looking like 30 already for AC. And, you know, all of our California friends are already putting plans together. And, you know, it's exciting to see them toss around and bounce around ideas. So it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a lot of fun. No matter where you guys end up, man, you're going to have a lot of fun.
Yep, definitely. I think it's cool. So that's going to be the next thing coming on the list. And again, Chris off Faces and Aces and I, we're going to leave Laughlin Sunday afternoon. We're going to get back to Vegas. So anybody who happens to be in Vegas that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, by all means, you know, look us up, whatever, on Twitter, whatever have you. We'll be bouncing around trying to actually do research like we just don't ever get around to. And we'll go from there. But it can't wait. Like I said, can't wait to do it. Anybody else got anything else?
Nope. Sounds good. Again, big thank you to everybody at the Plaza team, Jonathan, Ashley, Nicole, Mike, Gary. You guys are awesome.
Cool, cool. So I guess that's a wrap. Hope you guys enjoyed this one, and cheers.
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 So you can find us at VegasConfessionsPod@gmail.com. Call us at our hotline and leave a message, 559-461-7488. Keep in mind that's 3 minutes, but that should give you plenty of time to leave a story. If you want to call back, we can add on to that. Remember, folks, we are listener interactive. The more you interact like something as simple as a song request, the less we have to yell at you guys to send us all your shit.
Also, want to get a hold of us through social media? Don't be a stranger. We'd love to hear from you guys. You can find my brother and second wife at Shane Mields on Twitter. You can find me at Julian Romero 559 on both Twitter and Facebook. Get to know our newest brother from another mother on Twitter at E Rosenthal 1029. Also, you can see videos of all of our group trips and meetups from Las Vegas to Atlantic City on YouTube/JRomero559. Do me a huge favor by subscribing to there too. Thank you all, and we love you all.
That being said, we thank you folks so much for listening. We hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. Do us a huge favor by 1, subscribing to the podcast, and 2, leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. It always helps spread the word about us, and little by little helps people find us. Cheers.
Cheers.
Peace.
Estudiantes de los medios para el partido.